Good morning, Mr. Jousey.
Good morning.
It's Tuesday. You know what Tuesday means?
Podcast time.
We're getting them out there.
We are.
Incredibly. People are listening to them.
We might not be that boring then.
I don't know. Maybe with a new self-helping sleep medicine.
True. Put them on. Wonder if we cause any crashes.
In cars, because people are falling asleep. Yeah, it's possible. Public health warning. Don't listen to us while driving, in case you fall asleep. We've been around a bit of a journey, buddy.
We have. Covered some topics.
Yeah.
Some different bases.
So today we're talking about, I think, might be the most important topic of fitness and training and coaching.
Definitely fitness and training, because from definitely where I'm at, it's a topic that is definitely missed.
You mean from the CrossFit world?
From the CrossFit world.
Oh, yeah.
And I think yourself as well. This is a statement, but the fitness world finds it hard versus the sporting world.
They have a
fixture list.
Yes.
So there's more definitive.
Yes.
Definitive end.
So we're talking about off season.
We are.
Miller time.
Or the lack of.
Yeah.
Should there be? Shouldn't there be? What happens?
Yeah, mate. I mean, right. Forget it. Whatever sport.
Yep.
Cycling. Let's use it as an example. It's Sunday. It's the 3rd of October. You cross the finish line. And your next race is March. It's off season.
Yep.
What do we do? What's the plan?
Stop.
Good
first
boy.
Part.
Yes.
Absolutely. Put the bike away. Or whatever sport it is. Put it away. Put it to bed. And have some time out.
Yeah. Relax, eh? I think it's... he's wrong with it. How long do you give your athletes? I give mine 3 weeks. How long do you give them?
Very strange, mate. I also give mine 3 weeks.
Oh, do you? I wonder where you got that from.
Ah, spent a bit too much time with some boy called Phil.
Yeah. Yeah, 3 weeks, hey?
Yeah.
Last race of the season, 3 weeks off.
Yeah.
No discussions. It's funny, the first year I coach people, the first season, especially if they've sort of finished the season and decided I'm going to have Phil as my coach for next season. And the first thing they do, they come up for a sort of meeting and they get sort of, I don't know, perhaps a little bit inspired by our conversation and ready to go. And I say, and they say, right, so what do I train tomorrow? And you say, you got 3 weeks off. And they say, what?
I've done it as well.
What? Yeah. Your training program for the next 3 weeks is cake. And they sort of protest and argue it and everything else, but once they've been there and felt the benefits of it and understood it, they tend to follow it. And why do we give them 3 weeks off?
Because the body needs it, the mind needs it, the whole system needs it.
Absolutely.
I think it's an addiction.
Yeah,
it is an addiction. Yeah. It's something that they feel like they need, so they keep doing it and they can't have the time away from it, which is why made that statement about it being the fitness sports.
Yeah.
Because they're the guys that have
the addiction.
The addiction and where there is no definitive end. Whereas footballers can't wait to, like, you know, my friends at work in the sport conditioning world, like, footballers start going in the gym towards the end of the season, getting ready for the beach.
Yeah,
can't wait to get away from the football. Yeah. It's not there for the right reason.
No, absolutely.
Something's changed a bit, but yeah, and that's. I mean, CrossFit. That's the other side of things. Like, because it's a, well, I suppose it's a sport of strength and conditioning. Effectively, you are doing the what a football or rugby player will do to assist his sport. That is what CrossFit is. It's doing
the sport of fitness.
Yeah, yeah. So they then see that a rugby player in the off season lifts weights. So the CrossFit off season is lifting weights.
Yeah.
But it's like, but that's your sport.
Yeah.
So where's your actual off season?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. Well, I mean,
I'm sure that's the same in cycling, right?
Yeah, I mean, the guys, they want to ride a bike. I mean, they ride 1,000 hours a year and still want to ride their bikes some more.
Yeah.
Credit to them, credit to their passion, credit to their drive and everything else that goes with it.
I'm going to sidewind there.
Go for it, mate.
Obviously, that CrossFit is his passion as well.
Yeah.
And we're saying cyclist passion. What would we say, like, when you played rugby? Rugby was your passion, and football was my passion. Were you ready for the off season? Did you want the off season, or not? Obviously, we're both getting old, so it was a long time ago.
Yeah, that's it, mate. That's it. You're testing me there. I mean, no, not really. I think the 3 week process there, I will answer your question.
Yeah.
But I think the 3 week process, I think I experienced where I've developed the 3 week concept from is that the legs, they recover quickly. You know, you give it athletes at that level, at that fitness, at that intensity, you know, that train at that level, you give them 2-3 days rest and they're fresh.
Yeah.
You know, they feel great. So it's not the legs and it's not the muscles and stuff we need to recover. So I tend to have sort of the first week where I say is reflection on what's happened.
Yeah.
Second week is just off.
Yeah.
You know, and the third week is beginning to think about what's going to happen next year.
Yeah.
From a psychological process. I think that's how I've also felt it. I can remember feeling perhaps burnt out. Not burnt out in the terms of overtraining, just thinking that, you know, I'm ready for a rest. And I think the most important thing for me is if we're talking about cycling, they missed their bike.
Yeah.
In week 3, I want them to phone me and say, can I ride now? Can I go out and train? And I say, no, you can't. And when they get back, they just find that passion again in that 3 weeks. And that is just that we've got a long, cold, boring winter with no racing, with snow everywhere. And I'm going to really put a huge demand on them over the winter. We need that 3 weeks just psychologically.
Yeah.
If we talk about the liver, the kidneys, hormones, glands, and they need 3 weeks to recover. I mean, the liver needs, and there's always people say, well, are they allowed to do anything in that 3 weeks? They're not. No, they don't. I don't let them swim. I don't let them play badminton. I don't let them weight train or run or do any other things. They can do that after, but they need to have 3 weeks. I like them to walk. Mentally, I like them to reflect a little bit on the season, especially in the first week.
I like them to go do other things.
But they're allowed to do other things sort of after that 3 weeks. And of course, some of them end up going to kick a football with some friends, and as long as it's recreational. But the idea is just to try and give them as much rest, and they don't lose. I mean, the guys have ridden 1,000 hours this year. Some of them have ridden a lot more. Or trained sort of 800 to 1,000 hours, or raced. I mean, they're racing every 4 or 5 race days a week, some of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're not losing any form in 3 weeks. They need that time to recover and get better.
I have this conversation with the guys all the time. Of like, they've just come off the break, like, oh, I just feel so bad.
Yeah.
Like, physical, psychological.
I experienced the opposite. I experienced my guys thinking, I'm just so ready. I mean, they say I feel dreadful, form-wise, but they're just glad to be out of training again and they've missed it. And so it sort of gets turned to something positive. I mean, logically, of course, they're going to feel dreadful, but it doesn't last more than a month.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is they're fresh and they're flying and they're going. It's funny, actually, that's the 3 weeks a year where they're allowed to have a girlfriend. You know, otherwise they're just, the girlfriends are just distractions from training. So you know, yeah, I mean, I'm different from other coaches there. Maybe it's my rugby background, I don't know, but there I think they should go out and have a few beers
and
you know, they spend, and perhaps for the nutritional, yeah. I mean, I'm a nutritional, I'm strict with nutrition with the guys, and I work with them on it, but I just think they don't touch alcohol for 11 months a year.
Yeah.
They eat properly, their bodies, and of course, the most optimal thing in the world would be to, through that 3 weeks while they're recovering, actually detox and eat even better if they were completely disciplined. But I just think some point during the year, these guys need to just hit that release valve, and I sort of prioritise the psychological release of going out with friends versus the sort of perhaps stress and internal, because for me the psychological aspect is probably the most important aspect of the coaching.
Well, yeah, if you're tired, like I always explain to you, if you're still going through, when you need to be mentally more fresh, when it matters next year,
yeah, exactly.
Then if you've not had that 3 weeks now,
yeah,
you're going to get to that point, and I don't want that to be a factor that you felt like you've been slogged. You still, well, that slog never has an end.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And the thing is that they also, you know, it's also, there's an end point to what we talked about in season planning. There's an end point to a phase. It's nice to know there's an end point to something. It does stop. There is a sort of point there where you say, okay, look, now we hang our boots up for this year. We reflect a little bit, we analyse, and then we build for next year, and we start to get excited about next year, and have that sort of definitive line between something that's happened and something that's about to happen, and not just have all of it blending into one and one big sort of mess. So yeah, 3 weeks. I mean, even with my recreational athletes, the guys who aren't professionals and that, if they've trained hard and had upwards of sort of 350, 400 hours training that year, then I'll also give them the 3 weeks rest and have them rest up there. And even some of them don't necessarily feel like they need it. Because I would like them to come back fresh. I would like them to be ready to go. Those guys, it's easier to put them on a good nutrition plan in 3 weeks, because they're not as sort of frazzled as the guys that have had 75 race days and travelled from one end of Europe to the other end of Europe every weekend racing. So that's the, you know, okay, they put the bike in the shed, and that's the first 3 weeks. Monday morning they're reporting for duty. They've had their 3 weeks off. Some of them have found themselves a girlfriend. First thing I'll say is,
she's gone.
That's it. Or a boyfriend, should I say. He's gone. Back to training. They've got loads of time to have social lives now it's time for training. we go back, and it's Monday morning. And what are we working on? What they walk in Monday morning, and it's full of hope, full of expectation. And let's, you know, previous podcast we talked about season planning.
Yep.
So we've sat down with them, we've got the structure in place, we've got some goal setting, we know what we want to get from pre-season and all of the sort of things we talked about. But that phase now of pre-season, or pre-season even, I don't know how yours works, but I have a pre-season which is sort of November, December. And then I have a pre-season sort of from September to March when the races start, and I divide that up into the November, December there. We work very much on things very much away from the sport of cycling. So biomechanics, strength, stability of joints, and bulletproof them pretty much for any kind of injuries that might come. And then start building towards the races from 1st of January. How are you doing the same with your...
Very similar in the sense of biomechanics, moving and everything like that. But because you do the strength work, like mine could be strength work for some.
Yeah.
And possibly not for others, depending on what is the issue with that movement. Because obviously they squatting is a big part of the sport.
Yeah.
Or strength is a big part of the sport. So it's just mindful that everything, I'm not hitting that too hard too early.
Yeah.
So that then they've got to, like we talked about in the last podcast, we don't want that plateau to happen too early, and then them just maintaining the plateau. So it's like, give them, make sure the movement, the body's ready, the movement's good movement, it's durable under light loads, and then we then start to go into the pre-season of then starting to add the load more now.
Yeah. I mean, there's a sort of time, typically with triathletes, I'd work on swimming in the pre-season, for example, where we'd have them develop swim technique, or a cyclist might work in his cornering. Might send them out on mountain bikes to ride in the forest to sort of develop that technique side of things, and work on some skills and develop some skills, and And I say with a strong element on strength training. Especially the cyclists. They're the ones who really get to benefit from the strength training and the biomechanical understanding of muscles and bones working together, not necessarily just lifting huge loads. And because of the stress they're about to come through. And what we actually see, which is interesting in cycling, is we actually see when the guys lift heavy, the watts go up, which is really interesting. So when they actually start lifting loads, they start riding faster.
Yeah.
Problem is how long can they hold that for? As you said, so we've got the same problem there. I mean, unfortunately, there's quite a lot of the cyclists, they sort of go big and heavy on the weights in November and December, and then they just ride from January, and by the season starts, they've lost all of the good work, all the watts that they got from strength training. So I'm quite into holding back on the heavier stuff and starting that in February, for example, and getting that ready for March, and then trying to keep it going as long as I can into the season. Yeah. Races tend to get in the way of that sometimes when they're doing sort of 5-day races, but yeah, that's it. So pre-season, and then we got pre-season pre-season we're working on technical and skill elements.
Yeah.
Developing things that potentially aren't particularly stressful for the body, don't leave a chronic fatigue. I mean, that's something we didn't mention in season planning. There was a difference between what we call chronic and acute fatigue and training load and training stress. I think that might be interesting for our listeners. We define chronic load as the load over time, and acute load is what they're under currently, which is both relative. So an athlete that's trained for the last 5 years has a relatively high chronic training load, and the relative acute load could be 1 year. But then, of course, you can also say the chronic load over the last month has been this, and what we're training today, the acute load is that. So it's a relative, it's a moving relative number, and that's the sort of thing. The balance you're thinking about the whole time is what's the chronic load versus the acute load. How much am I putting on them now versus how much have I put them over the last month, and how much am I putting them over under in the next month, and having that balance right today. And sometimes today's session might not make a lot of sense, but in the grand scheme of things, it makes a lot of sense of where we're going. And that's that season planning again, isn't it? Of having the right things at the right times and timing of the programming.
That's the fun stuff.
Yeah, it's the fun stuff, buddy. It really is. And so we've got pre-season, we've got pre-season, and pre-season is skill elements, relatively low, acute training load, making them better at things. One of my reasons for not having any kind of injuries and stuff with the guys is that pre-season there. I mean, we really do work hard on making sure the techniques are strong enough to survive the rest of the year.
Exactly. Because huge in CrossFit, where the techniques are being fairly stressed fairly early in the year.
Yeah.
And how many people are getting towards competition season, and then they've already got the big niggles and injuries, and they aren't where they want to be.
Yeah.
When they're supposed to be.
Absolutely. But the thing there with also going back to sort of 3 weeks off and then having that phase, without doubt, the further down they come, the higher up they can go. I can't translate this directly, but there's a wonderful saying in Danish about training on pate training, which is just the same gloopy, gludgy sort of pate all year round, and it's just never the same. It's all sort of, it's never up and it's never down. And these guys, they run around in what I call 95% form. So at any point in the year, you could pick them up and you could ask them to do anything they wanted, and they could do it to a reasonable level, to almost an impressive level. But then when they need to put the 5% on top, they can't because they're too tired. So they spend their life in pate form, which is sort of 95% the whole year round, and they never reach 100%. And 95% in is good enough to do well. Yeah. And I mean, we see it loads with sort of Kona qualification, that the guys are so tired when they go into the World Championships there that they do really well in their Ironman, and they go to the Ironman Hawaii that year, and then they just crash and burn because they've just not been able to go up again. That 5% yeah. and go up again because they've just been in that form for so many years. And daring to bring them down, daring to let them rest, daring to be recovered and let them feel bad in training, and then build up the weaknesses. And bearing in mind those 2 months when you're building on all their weaknesses and all the things, all the skills of the sport and all the elements there, then they're not becoming fantastic yeah. shape there, and they're sort of feeling, well, am I ever going to come in form? And it's very often, you know, we have some guys here, we call them winter warriors, that are out yeah. smashing hours in the winter. And in January, my guys, they're struggling to yeah. keep up, and they're going from them. And then when we get to March,
it's the other way around.
Yeah. And the season starts, and all my guys are flying, and these guys are already tired.
Yeah.
We discussed that in depth in the previous podcast there, but that's daring to let them come down and daring yeah. to focus on their skills and keeping them injury free as well.
I think the best way that you, or one of the best sayings that you said to me, which I just love and just makes complete sense to me, is what you're saying there about coming down, and it's that whole thing of how do we jump as high as we want to jump.
Yeah.
So to jump high, first we've got a lot to explore. We've got yeah. to go downwards to go upwards.
Absolutely.
And that just rings true, and it's the best way of yeah. of getting that point across.
Yeah, the fresher they are when yeah. they start, the mentally fresh, the further up I can peak them during yeah. the season and take them beyond 95% to 100%.
Yeah.
A lot of that, again, is season planning, having the right races at the right times and having team support, etc. Yeah. It's easier in Ironman, for example, because in Ironman racing, you have your date. And there you need yeah. to peak. So yeah, that's it. I always have a pre-season where we're bulletproof, what I call bulletproof, and just creating a body that isn't going to break, being able to throw huge training demands and huge training stress upon them during the season without breaking down. And that is that pre-season. And then also there's a huge element of it in pre-season, but it's yeah. that's more pre-season of the sport. So yeah. we're getting them ready to play their game, run, ride, whatever. Lift whatever it is yeah. they're going to do. So that's just how we sort of structure an off season. Let them rest first, let them recover, let them go out and enjoy some time with their friends, and
start slow and build,
and then work on some weaknesses and build them through to the season with some strength training and some what I call proprioceptive biomechanical strength training, rather than just chucking weights around the gym.
Yeah.
Which they will get plenty of time to do at other points.
Create the momentum. Back yeah. to that again, isn't it?
Yeah, let them feeling good, mate. Help them feel good, eh?
Start small and work big.
And help them to have every day feeling like a success. It's a very important part of it.
It's quite a simple, short one.
It's good for us, eh, buddy?
Yeah. We can go on yeah. a bit normally. We're not yeah. going to drag that out any longer than we need to.
Said what needs to be said.
Yeah.
Onwards and upwards. I think Jousy's going to go out riding a bike today.
Yeah. Hopefully you don't stitch me up like last time.
It's going to be interesting to see Jousy on a bike.
Yeah. Last time we went out on a bike over here, I just got entered straight into a 10K time trial.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
Yeah.
You did all right.
Yeah, you put me on the hybrid, didn't you?
You came eighth.
Yep, out of eight. Bear in mind, I was on a hybrid, riding, cycling along like Miss Daisy, whilst everybody else had road bikes.
Time trial bikes. But time trial bikes. Some of us were on time trial bikes, yeah. We had a good head start.
Yeah. Didn't last long. And I went in the wrong direction to start with as well, which didn't help.
Yeah.
Took the wrong turn in.
Yeah.
But yeah, good. Hopefully it's not as bad.
Take it easy, buddy.
Cheers, Phil.